The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Indeed. Does it feel like forever since we've been here?
It does.
What is going on?
I know. Well, we weren't here last month.
What happened?
It was just crazy. Yeah,
we just
had a lot going on.
Well, anyway, we're here now. Good evening, North State. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And this is the Enjoy Hour. And I am here with my fearless and most wonderful cohort,
Rhonda Alvey,
who is the mastermind behind our beautiful magazine of Enjoy for how many years now?
Almost 19. Yeah.
Pew, 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 pew.
Kind of crazy.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
No grandbabies to ones that are driving.
Yeah.
All that time, right?
We've gone through a lot together.
So anyway, what are we doing here? So we have the February 2025 issue. This is issue 221. It's called True Romance. And of course, as most people know that are Enjoy readers, every month we have an issue that, you know, on the front may have a nod to something, doesn't mean that's what the whole magazine is, but it will have, you know, articles that might reflect the title,
mm-hmm.
along with a lot of things. And that's what I love about the magazine is it gives you a hint and then you know that there's usually something in there for almost everybody when it comes to articles because they're very diverse and they cover a wide area of the incredible North State that we live in.
Except for next month.
Why?
Because next month is
just taken over.
It was leading taken ladies, because it's Women History Month.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all about
and,
women.
And if I understand, unless that changed, because I know things change very quickly in the publishing world, it is our biggest issue
ever. Marches. Yeah.
So we have almost been in business for 19 years, producing over 200 issues, 221 issues. And our March issue officially is the largest issue we've ever put together
mm-hmm.
in that time frame.
And it was a beast.
Spectacular. Oh, I can only imagine. And I'm so glad, really, that I wasn't in the office.
Yeah.
Because,
but this one was good, too. I mean, this one still is, I think it's over, it's 100 or close to, it's at 100 pages. Yeah.
So usually when we kick this off, we always talk about things that are going on in the community before we introduce our first guest of the evening. And so this one is actually chock full. We've talked about this a lot that, you know, during the pandemic, of course, our calendar events disappeared and we were so thankful to be able to bring it back. And now it is filled to the brim of things to do. Our calendar is very broad.
And it's still really, I have to say that it's still a work in progress. I mean, we're still, you know, sometimes it's hard when you have more than one event, you know, like I'm going to give you an example for Riverfront. You know, we have different plays on different nights,
mm-hmm.
and it takes forever to get all of them in the calendar. So you just have to be really patient.
Yep.
And like I said, it is a work in progress, and things are, you know, it's getting better, and it's going to, you know, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger like it used to be.
Yeah. Well, it is plumb full, and one of the things that, you know, I like about our calendar is that it is not just super hyper-focused just on, you know, Redding or Shasta County or whatever. It really reaches out, and we, you know, you can see the headlines. We go from Anderson, Chico, Dunsmuir, Mount Shasta, Redding, Red Bluff, Paradise, and it goes on and on. And then it talks about the different Cascade Theater and, you know, Schrader Planetarium and Rolling Hills Casino and Riverfront, Redding Performing Arts Center, talk things in Shasta Lake, Feather Falls Casino, Redding Civic Auditorium, Redding, library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's stuff going on everywhere, right? Like
it's crazy.
We just got done, you know, a lot of people now know it's a very public that I bought Chocolate Day Nanette and I have Spencer James Confectioners now, but we just got done doing Chocolate After Dark
mm-hmm.
at Turtle Bay for their fundraiser. And, Spencer and I dipped almost 1,000 strawberries to give away. And, you know, so there you are at Turtle Bay doing that. And then the very next night we donated edible jewelry boxes for the Library Foundation. And I went in there and they had converted the entire library into a whole spectacular
red carpet
thing, right? So, I mean, it's like there's stuff going on everywhere in every building all over the place and it's super exciting. One of the things, you know, we usually go over some things here in our calendar. which we have a ton of. But considering that, what is it, today is the 21st or the 20th, we're kind of, you know, third Thursday of the month, a lot of these things were focused on Valentine's. Mm-hmm. So with that said, how was your Valentine's?
It was great.
Were you treated well?
Actually, I saw our first guest. The day after Valentine's Day. Riverfront Playhouse did a murder mystery. They did it two nights, one on Valentine's Day and then the next night as well.
So was that first one called Kill Your Lover?
It was called A Killer Night at Club 85.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was kind of an 80s theme, and it was very fun, and both nights were sold out, and it was I had a blast. It was, and the food was done by Lakota Catering, and she does a great job, and it was fun.
I love her cheesecake.
Yeah. I just love her. She's just so sweet.
I love her,
sweet.
Too.
And she helped, you know, she was there helping serve on Friday night because I didn't have a lot of help, so.
I got excited seeing her. She catered my wife's Christmas party for Caltrans.
Oh, cool.
And she was in the corner, and I got up, and as I was kind of running to her, I a little bit stumbled, and I think she thought I was attacking her because I was like, I went to hug her, and I was going to push her over into the cheesecake. But she's awesome.
She is awesome, and she's marvelous. I just love her. Yeah, she did our last murder mystery as well when we did one in October. So
I'm going to have to go to that because I quite like those.
It's
I like
fun. I
keep pushing you, and I know maybe someday you guys will get around to it, but I want you guys to do one that is the real audience participation where you actually get out, leave the theater and go to a restaurant, and like it's a whole moving thing. Like they do those in San Francisco a lot where you participate in like somebody's wedding even though it's not real.
Oh, those are fun. I've been to the one in Vegas. That was fun.
And then the other thing that I really like is dinner theater.
That's what this kind of was. Yep.
So good for you guys.
So yeah, dinner and a show, and yeah, it was fun.
So anyway, cool. What else do we have going on in here?
I do want to mention that the Sundial Film Festival is coming back to the Cascade, and it's on March 22nd. And it used to be run by the 2030 Club.
Yep.
And now
that's not in existence anymore, is it?
Oh yeah, they're still around.
Oh,
yeah,
are they?
They're just not doing the Sundial Film Festival.
Okay.
And now Tyler Ferris is doing it along with two other Tylers, and I think it's going to be amazing. So
Tyler, and Tyler.
Yeah. So yeah, and they had a ton of submissions from all over.
Really?
And so it's not just from Reading Shasta County.
And I like, not that the 2030 Club didn't do a great job, but in my opinion, something like that really needs to be, the people pushing it are promoting it or doing it.
Are
in that kind of business. Yep. So they're very, probably really well connected with other people to get submissions. Right.
You know? And I know that they couldn't do it. They canceled it last year because they couldn't get enough submissions. And this year they have, I don't even remember how many.
Too many?
I think they have over 100. But, I mean, I'm sure they're not going to show over 100 because it's only one night.
Judges?
There's two shows, but it's one in the morning or one in the afternoon and one in the evening.
When I say who judges, film festivals aren't always about winners and losers, right?
I mean, I'm not really sure.
I guess like Cannes, you always hear that they win awards, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess there is a judging panel of some
Tyler Ferris is an award-winning movie maker. So
ACID, the Acid Canal.
Yeah. Yep.
He did a spectacular job on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of things going on at the Cascade that are in this issue. But most things in the magazine that you see are already over. A lot of things. Not everything, but... Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is over. Yeah. And I was going to say, what was that? Yeah. I'm looking at it. Also, there's a plug in here for people to get their hands on, and I'm not sure exactly where. Maybe you could speak to it since you seem to be connected in everything downtown. The Viva Downtown discount card.
Yes.
Is now available for 2025.
Mm-hmm. And you can send
a self-addressed stamped envelope
to Viva Downtown, and I don't have the address in front of me, but you can also. Go
Viva
to the
downtown. What is it? 1725 Market Street.
There you go. It's on the ad.
Reading, California.
I made that ad.
001. I know. I made that ad.
Or you can go to the IOF hall, I believe, and pick one up as well.
There you go.
And the participating businesses that are on there have them as well. We have them at Riverfront. We're a participating business.
I was going to say, yeah, okay, good. I was looking to make sure that Enjoy the Store wasn't on there.
There's a lot of new ones on there this time. So there's 21 businesses that are participating in,
looks good.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, these are a lot of the really big key ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very, very cool. What else do we have here? I'm looking to see here. We got a couple minutes before we're going to take our first break, or a minute or so. So I guess we could actually head out just even a minute early as I'm looking at the control booth. I'm going to tell you, yes, we're going to break. And then when we come back, we will introduce our first guest. So go grab something to drink, a snack or whatever, sit back and relax. We'll be right back.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the Dip.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Enjoy. And we are back, North State. Once again, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and this is the Enjoy Hour. We're here every third Thursday of the month to explore the latest issue of Enjoy and to bring some more of the articles or the people, places, and things within our pages more to life, other than just a good read, to kind of discover the people behind that read. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we have our studios here. We have our first guests of the evening, and I'll let you introduce them since that's your job, not mine.
Oh, okay.
Well, because I screw everything up when it comes to introductions.
So
I know Dan and Mimi, but that's about it.
Right. So on our February issue, we have a story about Kaleidoscope Coffee and the owners, Dan and Mimi Burton, and they are here with us tonight.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
The faces behind the delicious coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this article is starts on page 20 in the magazine this month, and it's called Feeling Groovy in the Living Room, Building Friendships at Kaleidoscope Coffee. And there is this charming little chap that is absolutely adorable, sipping on a cup. I'm assuming it's hot chocolate, but who knows?
Yeah. You know? So tell us, you guys, how long have you had Kaleidoscope Coffee?
We started in October of 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
And what made you decide to have coffee?
Actually, it was kind of a crazy story. I was in construction since I was 16, and after the 2008 recession, I worked like 3 months in 2009, and I thought, what can I do that no matter how bad the economy gets, people always find it as a treat, you know? Mm-hmm. And coffee is what I settled on, and there's been times, like Mimi can tell you, that people will come in that you can tell they've gotten the coins out of their ashtray and out of the couch, and mm-hmm. they got bubble gum on them and everything else.
I just did that before I came here.
Yeah.
I was scrounging through my car.
Yeah. Staple.
Yeah. It's an affordable luxury.
Uh-huh.
When people want to feel good and they'll figure out a way to get it.
Right.
And it is amazing. I don't know what it's like for you. And you know, obviously you guys are more of an, I don't want to say upscale, it's just a different coffee. My kids, I have kids that all work for Dutch Bros, right? So sometimes I call it barely coffee, but, you know, it's something that I like. They're kickers. So, you know, it's very light coffee, lots of milk, lots of sweet, which I'm sure you guys can do, too.
We can make that.
Yeah, you can do that, too. But so not to disparage any one place over the other, they're all different. But, prices. I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys, if you guys have been having to increase your prices. I recently acquired Chocolate Day Nanette. It's been around for 40 years. And I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I'm loving it and enjoying it. But in the only 3 months that I've acquired it, we've had already 2 price increases from chocolate. And it's outrageous. It was a 43% increase in chocolate. And, you know, cacao and coffee are very much kind of in the same boat as far as a commodity and availability and impacted by weather and geopolitical problems and disease and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So have you guys noticed in your realm things have gone up quite a bit? Or
oh, absolutely.
Milk, I mean, yeah. All those things, right?
Yeah, from 2020 on, it's just been nuts. And we held out as long as we could. We raised our prices last year,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first time we had raised them in, I think, almost 3 years, two and a half, 3 years,
because
mm-hmm. I just hate doing that to our customers. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And
I guess the part of the saving grace for you guys is you're not a huge chain, so you're not having to necessarily meet that. I mean, you probably do just to keep employees, but have to that $20 an hour that every big chain is making. Because, you know, like here where my sons work at Dutch Bros, you know, they all got, all those kids got a substantial raise because they're part of that big organization, right? And that just, I mean, they're having to cover that, right? So I'm going to buy a cup of coffee that's costing me almost $8
yeah.
a cup.
So how difficult is it for you to get employees? Are most of your employees young kids or?
For the most part,
uh-huh.
We have some older people that work for us too. I think a lot of older people don't apply,
mm-hmm.
people that are our age, because they think it's a kids thing, you know. Yeah. And it is to a certain extent, because you got to be able to remember all those orders and be fast,
right?
And,
right.
You know, as our brains start to slow down.
You have 3 locations, correct?
We currently have 3 locations. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the price increases. We just got another one. From our roaster, you know, and it's a 30% increase.
Oh,
you know,
and ouch.
So,
ouch.
Can I ask the question? Like, so do you guys, is it a local roaster that you work with, or is it like 6 Degrees or somebody like?
No, they're actually from the East Coast.
Okay.
They've been roasting since 1878, ooh, wow. I think, something like that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
how did you figure it all out, the coffee thing?
You just did.
It was actually kind of funny because, like I said, I worked in construction, and when Mimi and I first started in there,
Mimi went to brewing school.
when we started in Anderson, we had 3 kids that had ever made coffee before. And so it's like we put them on the espresso machine, and we just made all the blended drinks and the Red Bull drinks and all that stuff. And then we just kind of learned. Our original roasters were Straw House over
here. Oh, yeah.
Between here and the coast. And they helped us a ton.
Yeah, they are very
helpful. They're really
wonderful people.
Yeah,
Donna and Julie are amazing.
Yeah,
they're awesome. often.
Yeah.
My commercial oven, my Hobart oven, I bought from them.
Oh, okay.
And we used to sell their coffee at Enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so they taught us the how that, you know, when we first got going, Amy Lewis at 6 Degrees also helped us a ton.
Okay.
And then after 15 years, we've just kind of found our way, you know, mm-hmm. as we're going. But it's been a lot of fun, and we got a lot of great employees. And when sure. you were saying about keeping them, one of the things is every even people we've had to fire over the years have said it's been the best job they've ever had.
Oh,
well, that's
we're
nice.
Kind of like a family.
That's
every,
a compliment,
you know,
for sure. Yeah,
lots of the kids go out together and do things off away from work.
I was gonna say, I'm sorry that I stole from you and you're firing me, but this has been great.
<That's right. laughs> but it does make you feel good when they come back after something like that and they go, hey man, I'm sorry, but that was the best job I've ever had.
Well, good for them having the courage to do that, right? And
yeah.
again, kind of accepting maybe what took place, right? That it was on them or whatever that is, but acknowledging that
yeah.
what you did, how obviously you handled it or what the environment was awesome.
Well, you guys are just such nice people.
Thank
really,
you.
You really are. I mean, I would love working for you too.
Yeah, but and like you said, one of the kids, he just perpetually had a problem being late.
Yeah,
5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes. You know, and I kept warning him, and I finally fired him. And he came back years later. He said, "I've never been late to another job in my life. Never, not a single day."
Because it was probably a shocker.
Yeah. Oh no, it was. He was blown away. But
what?
Yeah, he said that was that was the best thing that anybody ever
was
did for me.
The best lesson. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
I've been there.
What is your most popular drink?
I would say either the white chocolate or the caramel macchiato and the hot drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would you say, like, surprising? Because, like, we do ones like the Oreos, so it's kind of like a blizzard where we put real Oreos in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That one's popular.
That's
yeah.
super popular.
Yeah.
And the caramel also in the frappes.
Mm-hmm.
And the white chocolate, but yeah.
It's funny that you brought up the Oreo cookie. Did you say Oreo? What did
yeah.
you say?
Oreo, yeah.
Yeah, I just made Oreo bark today.
Ooh.
So I was crushing bags of Oreos, throwing them in white chocolate.
Yeah.
That's going up, too.
Yeah.
it
is.
Yeah.
And the cookies have shrunk.
Yes.
They don't look very big, and there's no filling in them.
I know.
So I really did like the story. It's a really nice story. And one of the things I really liked is the story after the story
uh-huh.
about your friend Don.
So
I mean,
yeah, that
friend,
was amazing.
Don and his dog Franny.
Yeah.
Just
I forgot that this was that story.
Yes.
So because I asked her, I said I looked at the story and I was reading through it, and then I saw this story after the story, and I thought, did they screw up? How did they? What was? You know, this doesn't seem like it's laid out right. But the reality of it is like an it is an insight to who the kind of and the testament to who people the. Who you are as people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so this was a very heartwarming story about
it
and
it was good Valentine's
a gentleman
Day.
And his dog that were
yeah.
Staunch patrons, and he was fighting cancer, and you guys did an amazing thing for him by closing down and opening it up so that he and his wife could be there alone and more protected instead of from being with the public and becoming sick since he was
really
being treated.
Sweet,
yeah.
Really sweet Valentine's Day story. I
yeah,
loved it.
It was amazing. It actually made me kind of tear up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. It's hard. We miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard. It just mm-hmm. makes me sad. You
he
know?
Was truly a joyous man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even through the hardest times, he would still, he could come in and be down, but before he left, he'd be back to smiling and
mm-hmm.
And he always brought his dog.
Franny came with him. Mm-hmm. To the point that one day after he passed, Franny had ran away.
Oh, no.
And
oh.
his wife came to Kaleidoscope looking for
looking
her.
Looking for her.
Oh, wow.
Because
yeah.
that would have been probably where she went.
Yeah.
So, looking for him.
Yeah.
Right.
She,
yeah.
It, yeah. She might have went off looking for him. And so.
Wow.
It was. But, yeah, he was a great guy. The dog was fun. And
do you get to see her at all anymore?
She moved to the Seattle area.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
She stole Franny away from you?
Took Franny, yeah. Exactly.
Do we still have the bowl, though?
Yep.
You still have
yeah.
the bowl?
Yeah. His bowl or her bowl.
Or her bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
Just in case a Franny imposter shows up.
Right.
So do all of your places have drive-thrus?
Yes.
That all three of them are drive-thrus? And are some is the one in Lake Boulevard just a drive-thru?
Anderson and Lake Boulevard are both just a drive-through.
Okay.
And then Athens is the only location that actually has where you know food.
You have food. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You
know,
uh-huh.
We have the wraps and the salads and tacos and right. Rice bowls and stuff
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great place for people that work over there too in that area.
We do get a lot of people that'll come uh-huh. pick stuff up and go back over to
Orchard Nutrition.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Yeah.
We have a ton of the Orchard staff that come in there all the time, and we actually have a kid that works on the weekend that was that worked for Orchard also.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we're all kind of a big family in that down in that area down there.
Well, I just want to thank you for coming in and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do a story on you guys and to let people know, you know, who more you really are besides just coffee, right?
Right.
I mean, if you can imagine, that was already 15 minutes.
Wow.
You guys, I told you, it'd go by
it goes
the blink of an eye, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
We need to take another break and get our next guest in here. But so thank you so much.
Awesome.
Have a good evening.
Thank you for your time.
No, yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself, but the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is the perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned, family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
We came in one split second. It didn't say enjoy. Can you take it from the top?
No, I'm kidding.
There we go.
There we go.
See, sometimes you just have to get a little rough with the help, right? I love you, Mikey. Anyway, you're listening again once to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And this is the Enjoy Hour, and I'm James Mazzotta with Enjoy.
And I'm Rhonda Alvey with Enjoy.
And we appreciate you listening to us tonight. So we are here in the studio with our next guest. We actually brought both of them in, but we're gonna pretend there's a firewall between them. So, you know, so that way they get their due diligence. So we're here with Ryan Fields from Fields Jewelers. How are you doing Mr. Sir tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thanks for having me.
You guys, how long has Fields Jewelers been in business?
Since 1953.
Here in Reading?
Here in Reading, yep.
And is it a family owned?
Yep, started with my grandparents.
Okay, so that would hence the fields.
That's correct.
Right?
So third generation right now.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. And what do you know as far as the history of your grandparents? I mean, were they born and raised here? Did they
started move? In San Jose.
San Jose, okay.
Yep, and traveled down here. And then on Market Street, Old Market Street.
Uh-huh.
That's where they started. And then, they used to sell, you know, toasters and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not just jewelry back then. So.
Okay. So they were kind of like a mom-and-pop mercantile.
Yeah, absolutely.
With some jewels on the side.
Absolutely.
Right? That's cool. I love that.
How long have you been in on the Churn Creek location?
Probably about 11, 12 years
okay.
now.
All right.
It goes by pretty quick.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Because you've had some moves. I'm trying to remember. I mean,
Downtown Mall, most people know us from. Yeah. Next to Dickers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, that has a long time ago.
Yeah, right. I used to buy my school clothes at Dickers.
It was a
nightmare. You have to go try on, and then I would try to, you know, if I'm good, can you take me across the way to that old lady's candy store? She had
right.
that cheese popcorn.
There's toy stores.
And she would rip you off.
Right.
Not give you your change.
But yeah, so the Downtown Mall, and then outside of there, we were in that big Crocker Bank building.
That's right.
For several years, and then
I forgot that was a Crocker Bank.
Yeah, the big pink building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I got my first account, and I got a Crocker Bear.
Oh, well, there
you go. Instead of a toaster or something like that, I got a stuffed animal. Sonny the Crocker Bear. That's who it was.
Ah, there you go. So four or five times. It's not easy to move a jewelry store. So.
I can imagine.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, considering that probably you have. Huge investment in your displays.
Right,
and then you have to move them, which I'm sure they don't like to move.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out in a new location if those cases are going to be able to be configured properly.
Right. the safe is the hardest part.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
In my mind, you just leave it in the displays and lock the door.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
You come back to nothing every day.
Right.
So, wow. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Do you also have children that help, or?
I don't.
Okay.
So it's my brother, Dan, and then my sister-in-law, Chris.
Uh-huh.
So it's three of us.
Okay.
But just us three, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you make the jewelry?
We have vendors,
uh-huh.
but we still do custom and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And two dogs that help
yes,
out quite
I
a bit.
Yes, I know. Your dogs are beautiful.
They're jewelry chaperones?
Right.
What kind of dogs are they?
Golden Retrievers.
Okay. So they're usually in the shop?
Yep.
All right.
They break the ice a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they do, yeah. But they're probably sniffing people out trying to make sure
absolutely.
That there's no gold on them.
Right.
If they can.
Right. Great dogs, not great watchdogs, but great dogs.
So what is your favorite part about jewelry?
I'd say probably just helping customers. They have different stories. So, you know, jewelry has a different story to gifts, what they're buying it for. So.
Uh-huh.
Everything has a different story, so it's kind of nice.
It really probably does.
Yeah, and to
probably
help out.
Right. Super happy, super sad.
Right. Sometimes mad. So
sometimes mad.
They're all over the place, right?
Yeah. What can you do with this gigantic wedding ring since I'm not married anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
Some do come back. Can we?
My stepmother has a ring like that, and I won't say it, but it's her FU ring. That's what she calls it. And she had
absolutely.
It converted into something.
So big stones, probably.
They're gigantic.
Yeah, right.
And she deserved them, right? Like
absolutely.
She totally deserved them and earned them. So, I mean, I totally, totally get it and respect it. But yeah, no, they're monsters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, right.
We've seen those too, quite a bit of them.
Well, cool. So tell us a little bit more. You're from Reading, so you've been around for your whole life.
Yep, 42 now, so pretty much grew up in the business.
Uh-huh.
From doing chores to making bows, stuff like that.
Making bows.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you at many, many trade shows, and you'd have to do it all.
Yep,
you
absolutely.
Guys are,
right.
I mean, I've seen you carrying things into a trade show that's like 10 times your size and
right.
like, you know, everybody's sweating and, you know, hauling and heavy breathing and trying to get it.
Doing some of those bridal shows.
Are you going to be at the bridal show this weekend?
I don't think we are this weekend,
okay.
But we kind of learned to not bring all the heavy cases.
Yeah.
We just simplify it a little bit
because
it's just too much.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all that jewelry, just simplify that too because it gets kind of expensive. So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And you've been advertising and enjoy for a long time, so we really appreciate that.
Yeah, my
Thank
sister-in-law,
you.
Yeah, she loves it and we do too.
Uh-huh.
So it does help help out a lot.
Yeah, and you carry the magazine in your little shop, so
absolutely.
That's nice.
You can come in and pick it up and buy yourself a diamond.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
So how are you seeing as far as jewelry grows? You were saying, I was asking you the question, like, have you seen, because jewelry is a necessity for some people, but it's also for a lot of people luxury, right? So with things being more expensive, have you seen a little bit of a change in the trend of people spending or what they're spending money on? We were talking about how gold is out of control.
Yeah, out of control, so that obviously prices rise.
Yeah.
We do also a lot of lab-grown diamonds
with
natural, so that obviously the budget's easier to get.
I've looked those up sometimes, and they're not cheap.
They're not cheap, but they're compared to natural, it's extremely, way cheaper. So.
And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, as a jeweler, jeweler, obviously, I mean, you're supporting it, right?
Correct.
But like, realistically, one is obviously lab grown, one is natural. But I mean, they're saying that the lab growns are getting so good that they're almost undistinguishable indistinguishable from a natural.
So
they're becoming more even perfect, right?
So the thing is, it grows from a natural diamond seed. So
exactly.
They can't control how it grows, like kind of like a natural. So it has the same properties, you know, same clarity, color, all that stuff. So it's just the price is so much less.
Yeah, because there's not people
digging
them
exactly,
up.
Exactly, yeah. So instead of, you know,
I've seen the machines and they're insane.
Right, same high heat, high pressure, just like natural. Instead of 400 million years, you know, it's just a few months now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is oversaturated in the market now. So a lot of people are doing it because it's just easier in the budget for customers.
Sure,
you don't have to get something. So,
and I've heard that there's been just recently, I just watched a video that there's been a major diamond collapse in China because of the oversaturation of the market from the lab grown.
Right.
Like it's just like, you know, like hundreds of thousands of these companies came online all at the same time,
right,
thinking they could do and get rich making these lab diamonds. And now they're,
right, yeah.
In China, they're showing like people have like trays with thousands of them, right? And they're
sure,
just like,
right. And just a couple of years ago, it used to be more expensive for a lab grown. Now it's significantly less, even now, just the last couple of years. So,
yeah. Any big trends that you're seeing as far as jewelry goes?
Custom.
Is it?
A lot of custom engagement rings, custom jewelry, which is nice because custom only takes now 4 weeks compared to 68 weeks or even months. So, it's a lot faster now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of custom stuff.
All right.
And do you see people usually coming in and, I mean, I don't even know if it's possible, but like if you have gold, right, can you bring it in in whatever form and say, hey, I would like you to do a custom product out and use this and
melt it down and create something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how do you determine or how can you figure out what the purity of the gold is? Like say brings you, I mean, obviously it's stamped a lot of times. It'll say 18
right.
karat or 22 or
there's different acid tests you can do.
Okay.
To find out what it is.
And are there jewelry pieces that are made out of 20 or 24 karat gold, or is it too soft?
It's pretty soft. You don't see a lot of it here. Uh-huh. Like, you know, out of the States, you'll see 24, 22 karat.
Yeah,
you see mostly 14 karat here, 10 karat, up to 18 karat usually.
Yeah. I think Europe does a lot of 22. And
right.
Middle East does 24.
Yeah. It's just too soft for some stuff here. So,
yeah.
So people can come in and sell you their gold?
Mm-hmm.
And you're having aren't you having a show?
Yeah, we're having a buying show. So we host it. Mm-hmm. We do it a couple times a year. We've done the last 6 or 7 years. National Rarities is the name of it. You can bring in your jewelry, precious metals, nice watches, coins. They can give you information about it, or you can try selling it.
It's like the Antique Roadshow.
It's kind of like that, actually. Yeah, it's pretty similar to that. So we're having it actually March 11th through 13th. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, normal business hours.
At your
at the store, yeah. Uh-huh. At the store. There's no charge to come down and take a look. It might just first come, first serve.
Uh-huh.
So it can get kind of busy, but it's a good event. People have always something to get rid of or try to sell or find something out of
it. So do you then, you look at it and say, this is what we think the value is. If they want to sell it to you, you might buy it?
Yeah, so we host. It's not us who's buying, but that's the idea though.
Okay.
Yeah, they can, if you don't, there's no pressure. So if you don't want to sell it, they can tell you about it.
Yeah.
Basically, and kind of how old it is or what, you know, anything from coins and even old toys and stuff like that.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
So it is kind of like
kinda
that.
Like that.
It is kind of like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you know what? That's the greatest stuff though too, because I've bought my wife some pieces when we were back in the day and had a little bit more coin to spend or whatever. And I used to love to go to, jewelry stores that, specialized in estate jewelry, right? And I bought Yvonne this bracelet from an estate, expensive, but I thought reasonable for what it was. And anyway, it was made in 1922. Oh, wow. It's all platinum.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I think it has a total of, I want to say like 8 carats of diamonds.
Okay.
So it's exquisite. Right. It's all like lacy, filigree-y, sure. You know, from back in the day, right? So I have no idea what it's really worth. But that's the kind of stuff that I find really fascinating. Yeah. And would love to know the history of.
Sometimes I can tell you a little bit about that, at least the value of it or how old it is and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you can imagine, that was already 15 minutes.
Perfect.
Right? You're like, oh, I just went. I know. You did great.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, taking the time and coming and sharing again about your business, Fields Jewelers. What's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you and find out where you are?
Just give us a call. Phone number 530-221-0230. Okay. 1738 Churn Creek Road.
Do you have a website?
We do. FieldsJewelers.com.
Yeah, FieldsJewelers.com. Simple. That's the way it should be. Yeah.
All right.
And we appreciate your support. So
absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, North State, we're going to take our last break of the evening and come back with our final guest. So sit back, relax. We'll be right back.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Monte Cristo Classic Number 2. This Figueroa has been described as one of the world's great cigars, a silky Connecticut shade wrapper in combination with the best Dominican tobaccos form this perfectly constructed cigar. The smooth aroma of toasted almonds, vanilla, coffee, and spice round out this classic stick. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
That's our motto, girl. Enjoy yourself. Isn't it strange That's Jackson 5, I'm assuming, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
And that's the music that we use because it's Enjoy, right? But then Janet is the other song, our intro song, Janet Jackson. And mm-hmm. she has a song that says Enjoy.
Yep.
I don't know what the Jacksons have about Enjoy.
I don't know.
They just like to enjoy.
But I enjoy it.
Me too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get on with our next
guest. Yes, please. Give the introduction.
Haley, I'm going to let you say your last name because I'm going to screw it up.
Let me try. Bag and Nash.
No.
No?
You're already off.
Oh.
So Haley's here.
Baganashi.
Banyaski.
Banyaski?
Yep.
Okay.
You can't look at it and try to say it.
But you know what? As soon as you told me that, then that makes sense. But that's not how my brain went first. Bagnashi, what is that?
Italian.
Ah, capisci italiano.
No.
No?
So Haley's here, and she is. She heads up the Kindred Hearts post-adoption services. So
translated, that means?
That means the services after a child has been adopted.
Placed.
Right? Yep. So trauma doesn't stop just because a paper was signed. So a lot of these.
What?
Yeah. I know. It's like fresh start. Sign the paperwork and everything's better.
You just show it to the infant. Look at this. Yeah. It's been signed. You need to let go.
Yeah. It's time to move on. No, that's not how it happens. So we provide the support after the adoption mm-hmm. has been finalized. So families and kids can still get the services mm-hmm. they need.
Sure.
That's awesome. And you have a passion for it because you actually have adopted
I
a daughter.
I do, yeah.
How old was she when you adopted her?
Well, she was 3 when I got her. It was a complicated, like, family member type adoption. So the adoption didn't finalize till she was 11.
Oh,
so I had her under guardianship
Lord.
For a long time. So a lot of, if anyone's listening who's done, like, kinship, guardianship, they're probably very familiar with the long, drawn-out process and stress. But anyways, 11 was when her adoption was finalized, and she's almost 15 now.
Wow.
So that was going to be my question, right? And I mean no disrespect to the adoption system. Mm-hmm. It's very complicated. I get that. I have lots of friends that have gone through foster adoption, having to take bring a child into their home that is family, like
yes.
born of another family member that is not well,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there's like a guardianship or whatever, and then, you know, it's very frustrating.
It is.
Right? Because I don't know what the motto is, but I don't know that it's what's best for the child. Sometimes, you know, I've been through so many experiences where it's like the bios are given so much leeway and opportunity. And it doesn't matter. You can very clearly see that it's not best for the child to go back to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems like the system always really wants to place them back with their bios. And I kind of get that in one sense, but there's abuse in the beginning. That doesn't mean the abuse is going to stop, you know.
Yeah,
just
it is
because,
it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's layers of mental illness and usually addiction.
Yes.
So it's just very
complicated.
Keep
reading it, girl. It goes on. The lists are, you know, are horrible.
Yeah. And there is some research, you know, in the last probably 10 years, there's been a focus in keeping children with family. So a big effort in family finding.
And that's great.
And with that, it also complicates things because now we have a lot of elderly grandparents raising their grandchildren, and they have really big behaviors or disabilities, and there is actually a lack of support for family members. It's not the same as in foster care. So that's another area that we're really focusing on how to support family members taking care of family members because they don't get the same services if they don't become a resource family themselves. Because they want to avoid that usually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they want to protect their family in some sense, but then they miss out on support services and resources for the kids. So that's something we're really focusing on right now is how can we meet the needs of family members who have stepped up.
Sure.
It's complicated.
There's feelings.
There's people.
Yeah.
But
the way I see it is that my incident is that there was a family member. They didn't even know they were pregnant up until about 2 weeks before they gave birth.
Wow.
They had been substance abusing.
Mm-hmm.
They gave birth. The child had some, obviously, addiction issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not capable of taking care of them. The family stepped in. This is the second child from this person and that other child. Her first child is an adult now. Right. So there was that many years between the pregnancies, right? Mm-hmm. And that that adult child was raised by the same family member. So they had this child from birth, right? Mm-hmm. And that person was given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and missed it. And, you know, the child's now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? At what point, though, I mean, and they're still trying to get the kid back, but it's like this child only knows this family as its parents. They don't even know who this person is.
Yeah.
Right? So to say, okay, this person's the bio, and now we, you know, they're 6 years old, we're going to give them back to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
That child has, I mean, you want to talk about trauma.
Well, it's all trauma, right? There's, you know, there people think, a lot of times, like, adoption is a great joy, and it is.
Oh,
I'm
no,
an adoptive mom.
Oh,
but if
is.
You think about adoption, like, at the
it's a blessing.
The core of adoption, there was a loss. Like, a trauma, to adopt means trauma happened, no matter what.
For sure.
And even with the being removed at birth, I think a lot of people forget of all the trauma that happened before birth. Like, for a child to be taken from birth, that means so much occurred. And the impact that trauma has on child development in the womb
is huge.
Out of the 6 risk factors of trauma, 3 of them happen
in utero.
Wow.
So didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But I could imagine it.
Yeah, so substance abuse, and I'm sure there was, you know, probably chronic stress and whatever else is going
hormones
on.
Because of stress.
Hormones, if there's mental illness in the family, all of that other stuff. So those are the traumas. The removal right away is a trauma.
Yeah.
And then, if there's visits happening and whatever else is happening, you know, the system traumatizes all these kiddos. So this is to say, like,
this is why we're stepping in. to support them. save them. The support is salvation to a lot of these families.
Yeah. Or, and do they come to you or do you go to them? I mean, how do they get the help that they need?
Yeah. So they can come to us, and you don't need a formal referral or anything. You can just come to Kindred Hearts. But we've really expanded our outreach now, so we're going to adoption finalizations to try to connect early, because really, like, early support and community is the best prevention.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I started Kindred Hearts was because I was a licensed marriage and family therapist specializing in adoption, and at one point my waiting list got up to, like, 50, 75 families trying to get in, because I was one of the only adoption competent therapists in our community. And so the need is significant.
For sure.
So that's why I started Kindred Hearts, because what was happening is
kids, this is your brainchild.
Yeah,
congratulations.
This is my child. Yeah. And Tracy Baker, she was like, do this. She was like the fuel behind it. She was an adoptive parent that I had worked with. And there was a time in Shasta County where we had post-adoption services.
Okay.
And then funding and things changed and it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had that experience of, at one point our community had this, let's bring it back.
Yeah.
And so that's what we spearheaded. And it was because families, I mean, adoptions were failing. Mm. They were terminating their adoptions.
Yeah.
They were going back into the system. Kiddos were being hospitalized up at our hospitals, like 5150 holds. Like, things got so bad. And then COVID happened, which isolated people even more, right? And so
Danger.
We were kind of in crisis response for a while, just trying to, like, put out as many fires as we can. And now we're still putting out fires, but moving more towards prevention and education.
Sure.
Because if we can support families when things are starting to go sideways, like, there's so much more success.
Well, I liken it to, like, Rhonda's daughter, who has a business that's called Best Behavior.
Yes, and we work with them.
And she was my son, who has autism, one of his first, right? And that's where she fell in love with it. But it was truly early intervention, right?
Yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world.
It does.
So I know that we're going to run out of time soon, and I know you have an event coming up.
Yes.
So you probably want to talk about
that. You have 36 seconds.
Okay, so February 28th, we're bringing in former NFL player. His name's Galen Elmore. He's talking about his journey from foster care to the NFL, but really he's talking about the people who stepped in from his community that helped build his resiliency. So it is for anyone in the community, not just foster or adoptive parents. Anyone can come because we all have a part to play in supporting our youth.
Amazing story.
A mentor, a teacher, a coach, like we all can
and
do.
And where do they go?
KindredHeartsProgram.com to register and get all the information. It's a free event, but you do have to register because seats are limited.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
That's so awesome.
Just in time.
Look at that.
Yeah. You're magic.
It goes by that so fast.
Thank you, Ailey. We
Thank
really
you
appreciate
so much.
You so much. And you can read more about it on the almost the last page.
Town Hall, is, yes, the
All
last
right.
page.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Casey and I. Shasta Ready.
It goes
Shasta Regional Medical Center.